you think, hereby calling an AGM meeting of the Two Blokes Talking Tech, do we need to offer refunds for yesterday's Two Blokes Talking Tech?
No, I don't think so.
It started pretty slow with my bullshit AI stuff and ended fucking real slow.
Yeah, well.
Let's be real.
It's very subjective, just like AI is. Very subjective.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Have you heard of that saying?
Yeah, definitely.
And that was trash. No, just joking. No, it was all right. It was all right. We had a lot of good topics. We were talking about Meta AI and Apple's announcement, their event coming up. We've got Uber for teens.
I'm still bored just talking about it. Stop it.
Belkin's Qi charging, Qi 2. Yeah. Can I just recall a story? You know, I've got little Logan.
Yep.
He got attacked by another dog.
What?
Yeah,
he was you didn't Joe. Tell me this, actually.
Did the Rangers
take the complaint?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Joe was walking Logan around our neighbourhood, and this staffy bull terrier just bolted out of a house and started attacking Logan. And Joe naturally just jumped in and was trying to kick the dog and get it off, and the dog turned on her. And luckily, there were two people driving past that saw it all happening and stopped and helped drag Joe and Logan away and put them in their car to get away from this dog.
And they brought them home to you too, didn't they?
Yeah. That's and amazing. Then this woman turns up in my house. She goes, "Are you Stephen?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "I've got Logan and Joe in the back of my car." I went, "What happened?
Get him in." I would have said, "Get him in my house."
Yeah. And then, so Joe came in. She was pretty shaken. And Logan too. Like Logan had a bit of blood on his mouth and that from, but he seems okay. Joe's got a few bumps and bruises and stuff.
Is he shaken up going for walks now or is he back?
No, he's okay. No, he's good. He's good. But it was a scary thing. And we spoke to the ranger. And I remember years and years ago, I remember getting bitten by a dog near my place. I remember going for a run and it was down the bottom of my hill and there was like this savage dog that just was come up to me and was sort of barking at me. And I turned my back to it like this and it jumped up and bit me on the back.
Wow. Right?
Imagine, so it could, like I'm 6'1", it could jump up and bite me that high. Imagine a child walking past, right? So what I said to the ranger, I said, what about if that was a parent with a pram, with the dog? There's a baby, like they're walking a little girl, like a 5-year-old or a little kid. That's you don't want that to happen.
What action do they take? Because that dog would be put down if it attacked a child.
Well, the bloke said to me, he goes, a dog attack is a criminal offence. Wow. If they haven't taken steps to restrain the dog and keep it safely behind whatever, then that's a problem. Haven't heard back. We had to, Joe, they came and talked to Joe. She did a written report. We even gave the name of the witnesses. Joe's since been to the doctor. She's got like her sore elbow. So, and I said, well, tell them, let them pay your medical bills then if that's the case. But it was a scary thing. Yeah.
Poor Logan.
Yeah, he was shaking up a
bit. I was worried that he wouldn't want to go on the walk anymore.
Oh, no, he loves a walk. But when he got home that night, he sat in the backyard by himself. He was sort of wanted some time alone. He didn't want to sit with us. He was a bit shaken, the poor fella.
Yeah.
But he's okay now. Joe's okay too. But, mate, it's something you don't forget. Like, it's bloody. And this dog, the ranger was telling us most of the reports they get are staffies, like Staffordshire Bull Terriers.
Yeah. Wow.
They're a particular breed that are, I don't know. Because it ran out of a house. It wasn't like out on its own without a lead.
Yeah.
It bolted out of its open gate. And Joe happened to be walking past with Logan and just attacked Logan. Yeah.
Sheesh.
Poor fella. Yeah.
Blimey, Charlie.
So, that was a bit of a shock, mate, but they're okay now.
Very good.
Yeah, but we had to go through the proper channels and report it and the ranger came to our house and sat down and Joe written statement, signed it and all that.
Good.
Yeah, so did all the right things. Yeah.
What have you been watching?
I've found a new show on Disney Plus. It's a show called Death and Other Details. It's like a murder mystery, and it stars Mandy Patinkin, the guy who used to be in Chicago Hope, was in Homeland as well. You see his head, you'll know him. And that's actually quite good. It's set on a boat. It's got an Agatha Christie feel to it where, there's a murder on a boat and there's all these suspects and there's all these deals going on and it's really interesting. Yeah.
Episodic? How many?
There's 10 episodes. Yeah, I'm halfway through. It's pretty
good. Is the idea that you find out who did it?
Well, you think you find out who did it. That's the thing.
And but is that the idea of the show to get the end right?
I understand, And part of it was filmed in Malta. Like they're in the Mediterranean. They stop off in Malta.
It's a tax rort or something.
Yeah, and a lot of boats are registered in Malta.
Tax rort.
Yeah, no, but a lot of boats
is
have
your boat
their registration.
Registered in Malta?
No, I don't have a boat.
Really?
But a lot of boats are you'll see on the back of it says Valletta on the back of it. So that's for, I don't know, for tax reasons or whatever. They register the boats in Malta.
Valletta is a city?
Valletta is the capital of Malta.
Oh, yeah. Good to know.
Yeah.
If, mate, if that was on Millionaire, I would have got it wrong.
Valletta is the Maltese capital.
You could have
capital.
Named three other words and I would have picked one of them.
Valletta.
100%.
If that comes up, you got it.
What's the show? Death.
Death and Other Details.
Hmm.
Yeah. Mm. It's really good. I'm enjoying it. It's good. Yeah.
I got nothing.
No?
Gilmore Girls is on rotation in our house because Victoria's been watching it for months now and she's getting towards the end. And Amanda's just run out of whatever she was watching. She's back at episode one of Gilmore Girls.
I am watching The Gentleman on Netflix still. Oh, I'm halfway through that.
Finish it.
Yeah, I think I'm up to episode five.
What are you watching something else for? Finish it.
Well, I just spread it out, mate. And there's the second
That's
season.
That's like you're reading multiple books at the same time. It's so weird.
I do that, yeah. And there's also a second season of The Lucky Door Prize, you know, the show on Apple TV. Have you not seen that?
Nope.
That's a great show. The season one, you can see, and season two's available now as well. It's the story of this small town, right? And in one shop, this machine appears, and it says, realize your life's potential. And it spits out a card
to tell you what
you should be.
Yes.
And one of them says teacher. One of them says superstar. One of them says, you know, other stuff. And it's the whole town kind of – it sort of changes the town a bit. People think, oh, if machine thinks I could do this, and it's sort of, well, I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah, yeah.
So season two has dropped.
Right.
And I just finished watching Constellation on Apple TV, which is this sort of space mystery where this woman – the girl that was in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the original Swedish version, Noomi Rapace, her name is. If you saw her face, you'd know her. She was in, she's been in a lot of movies. She plays an astronaut who comes home from the space station after an incident, and one of the other astronauts dies. And so the mother comes down, but then it's like an alternate reality where the other guy lived and she died. And you're thinking, and they're doing this experiment on the space station. You're thinking, who's who and what's what? It's like an upside down version of the world.
Oh.
It's intriguing. Yeah, it's good. Yeah,
weird.
That's eight episodes in that too. Yeah,
sheesh.
Yeah, a lot in that one. Pretty good.
Oh, I've got nothing
else, mate.
No, it's on my screen. I've been watching a lot of Billy Connolly.
Billy Connolly.
I love Billy Connolly.
Why?
He's a great comedian.
So just YouTubing him, eh?
Yeah. He's got a channel and I just hit play and it just scrolls through.
I'll tell you what, I've been caught up watching. I saw him on TikTok, SB Mowing. Have you seen
do
you know that guy?
Mate, SB and Tim, I'm all over
SB Mowing, he's been cool, yeah.
Mate, they're
and they've got like millions of followers and millions of views.
Mate, do you follow the Aussie, Tim, the lawnmower man? No. You should. He's a good bloke. I had him on the EFTM podcast like 2 years ago.
Yeah, right.
And he's now...
Like, yeah,
he's got a second channel now for reviews.
Wow.
That's
cool.
Mate, he's smashing it.
I think, what's his name? Spencer is the SB mower. Spencer. He's got even
a pressure
cleaning one as well. Hmm. Yeah, it's very satisfying, don't you reckon?
Yeah, so Tim does Freemo Friday. So every Friday he just does someone's lawn for free. And then I've actually watched a few of them on YouTube because they're really long.
Yeah.
But I just prefer the quick TikTok time-lapse ones. And
well, that's how I got under SB Mowing. And then I got his YouTube channel and... And at the end, he's smart how he does it. At the end, he puts in all the merch details. And he goes, if you stay to the end, here's a code to get a discount. Right. But he also then does the before and after shots.
Let's play TikTok, right? Let's play TikTok algorithm. Bring yours up.
Okay, yeah.
Put it on silent. Okay. But, you know, I've got a rusty, potentially rusty Cybertruck. That's my first video.
What have you got? TikTok. Here we go. Oh, funny that. Star Wars.
I got LMCT Plus ad, and I couldn't hate that lot more than I do. What about this? This is a live.
I've got a lot of car tricks. I've got a card explaining tricks and cardistry.
Isn't the NBL, isn't that the National Basketball League?
Yep.
No, it must be another one because this is a live stream of someone's NBL, and it says it's Sky Sports in America. Jason Lauren, FM radio show in Melbourne. Get them a lot.
Yep.
Big fan.
Another more card tricks. Seinfeld, Seinfeld, first day of spring.
Some woman who I don't know what she's saying because she doesn't put captions on, but yeah. Look at this. This is an interesting one. Look at this. Zero likes, zero comments, zero bookmarks, right?
Yeah.
So I've been served this super early.
Right.
It's got two views.
Right.
I was the second viewer.
You were the virgin viewer.
And she's got 32,000 followers, and she normally gets 300 or 400 views.
Yeah. I've got Alex Chippy. Are you Alex Chippy? You know, when he does the logos?
No.
Have you seen this? And he makes all the logos. People suggest logos and he makes them.
Show it to the camera.
Yeah.
Speak while you do it.
Yeah. They request the different logos. So he pulls out a card, right? He makes the colours and then he removes the label and so the colours come through. So he makes all, like, he makes different logos of brands and soccer clubs and stuff like that. Yeah.
So Cyril, who does, an Aussie guy from Darwin, who does remixes of classic songs.
Yeah.
I get him a lot.
Yeah.
Big fan.
I love his music. I've got Rachel here. Rachel, right? Before you say anything, right? Rachel, she's got Tourette's. So she's got a tick. She's good sort, but she's got Tourette's.
She's definitely got a tick. Sorry, tick?
Tick.
Did you say?
Tick. Yes, you idiot. Yeah.
Well, I thought what you said,
Ad for Shopify.
I have had a few ads I've missed.
Another card trick. Oh, hang on. I've got the live now, the NBL.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
I've got a bloke saying, I'm sorry to everyone I offend. I'll be taking a break from social media, but I'll be back. His title is The Angry Asian.
Ah.
I wonder what he did. But here's the thing. The reason I did that was because it just shows, like Arnott's Biscuits, you don't get them.
No.
Because I'm all in on Arnott's.
Because my body's a
gluten-free
temple,
stuff. No, because they do gluten-free and they send me free stuff.
Yeah, because Trevor's an influencer.
Trevor's
a gluten-free influencer.
Send me the Xbox stuff as well.
So when they're looking on their database, who's a gluten-free influencer? You're on the top of the list.
I don't think I'm at the top, but I'm there.
You're up there.
Have you seen these PickleBet ads?
No.
So PickleBet, you can't look at their profile, but they've got some. This is different, but they've got some that are taking the complete piss out of Buzz Rothfield.
Oh.
It's a bloke in. So do I. Yeah. There's a bloke in makeup, and they've like put red on, like, you know, Buzz. He's just iconically.
And
he speaks like him and everything. It's
mate. Is there a lawsuit there?
Funny.
Or what?
It's funny.
I've got a 3D printing one now. Then printing Lego.
This
and mate, Lego's major in my feed too, and it's all your fucking fault. Okay.
Yeah, of course it is.
Lego. I'm obsessed with Lego now. I'm building the Millennium Falcon now, the big one. The big Millennium Falcon.
I'm building something.
I've got two others ready to build.
Really?
Okay. So thanks a fucking lot. Reason I say that, if you don't know the backstory here, right?
No, I'll stop you right there. Are you aware?
Yeah, May the 4th. I'm fucking no. Yeah, TIE fighter infiltrator. Yeah, the interceptor.
That's a $350 set that you're definitely getting.
Oh, they got me there. Yeah. And they're going to have the Mos Espa.
I forgot to do
it.
I was going to write it and put photos at EFTM just write. I'm only writing this to piss Stephen Finnick off.
No, I've emailed them to say, here's the ones on my shopping list. I'm going to, what discount can you get me?
Yeah.
And I'll write about them as well. I haven't heard back.
My point about the TikTok thing is it's actually a good experiment to do with your kids.
Is it now?
Young kids. Like, you know, Victoria's on TikTok. She has a time limit. Yeah, she's 13. But she has a time limit. And I think if you sit down and you go, let's look at each other's feeds, because I don't have a problem with looking through mine. It's no big issue. I probably wouldn't let a 13-year-old look through yours.
No, mine, mate, mine's clean. I've got like card tricks and stuff. You're going to get sick of looking at card tricks and magic tricks and shit.
They were a couple of big card tricks you just showed me.
Well, the girl with Tourette's, but there was another girl I follow with Tourette's. I'm trying to remember her name now.
Mm.
And she's got serious tics, mate. Like, she'll sort of, her tick will be, fuck this, and then she'll do your normal
again. I know you should
again.
Never try and repeat a comedy bit, but it's one of Tom Segura's best bits where he talks about being at school, and it was like a Catholic school or something, and he's you got to look it up, the Tom Segura Tourette's bit, because he's sitting his first day at this, you know, a religious school. They're at church because Mass is the first thing, right? 500 kids there. He's sitting there. And someone just goes, fuck you! And Tom's like, what the? And he just keeps saying it. And he turns and he's like, what the fuck is going on? And they all turn to him and go, it gets old, mate. It gets old, right?
Oh.
And he talks a long story, but the punchline of the thing is, listen, it never gets old.
Wow.
So, like, to him, it just fucking never got old.
Mate, I've got a similar experience with my at school. When I was in year six, and there was a guy in our class who had written on a remember the old paddle pop sticks?
Yeah.
He wrote on that, fuck off, on the paddle pop, right? And threw it in the class and it landed on the teacher's desk. And it said, fuck off, on the paddle pop stick, right? And the teacher made him stand in the corner and say, fuck off, for the rest of the class, the rest of the period. And he was standing in the corner saying, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off.
What year?
Year six. Yeah.
That doesn't seem like punishment.
Well, no, it might have been year seven. It was year seven,
that
I think.
That really doesn't feel like
but, mate,
punishment.
But, like, it was like a scandalous. Like, the teacher saw this on a thing. It was crazy.
It's funny. I'll talk about comedy for a minute because I watch a lot of it. But, like, Jolly said to me, he was watching Jimmy Carr's special and kind of didn't get into it after 20 minutes. Oh, I watched it. It's
the new one. I've only just started watching
it. It's a different style of comedy.
Yeah, it's sort of like one-liners and that.
He's a one-liner guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I watch a lot of Tom and Bert, and I could rewatch them a million times, right?
Yeah.
But then I was watching Billy Connolly.
Do you reckon they're watching us?
No. I was watching, because I've seen Billy Connolly live at the Opera House once.
Have
you
now?
Fucking unbelievable, right?
Oh, okay.
And he tells stories, right? So all these YouTube videos, they're stories. And there was, I watched one earlier and he's telling a story and then he just mentions something and the crowd goes fucking wild. Because what he does is I'm assuming it's scripted, planned, but he always goes like this. Back to stories. Yeah. He finds a story, then he comes back to another one. He finds another one. Goes. It's like a flower, right? Going in and out.
Yep.
And so it's like he goes off on a tangent, and he suddenly comes back to the core that he was. Where was what was I saying? You know, and it just fucking cracks people up because he was, you know, telling a story. Like I was watching one earlier about potatoes, a thing called Night Potatoes, and he tells a whole bit about how restaurant menus are fucking stupid because the menu says soup of the day. What's the fucking point? Now I've got to ask what the soup of the day is. And so then he's ordering in night potatoes and he creates this 5-minute vision of what a night potato might be. You know, it's dressed, salt, whatever. And then it turns out it's just the potato of the day. Like it's mashed or it's steamed or it's, you know. And he goes, how fucking disappointing is that? You build up this thing in your imagination that a night potato is going to be this amazing thing.
You know what makes it funnier? His accent. His voice makes
delivery.
It funnier. Yeah, yeah.
Delivery.
It's but you get some comedians who are storytellers and others who are like more one-liners.
No, 100%. That's just a different style.
Ricky Gervais is a bit of both. He can tell a funny story, but he can also smash a few one-liners. Yeah. Like the Tourette's thing, he told a really funny Tourette's thing in one of his shows too. It's a bit too adult to mention here,
really?
But it's about what a kid said in class to the female teacher about what he wanted to do to her.
And
then he goes, yeah, I'll do that too. Remember that one? He goes, yeah, she was saying, you know, when the teacher's writing on the board, she goes, okay, Trev, what do you think? And she writes it. And then this bloke says what he says. And then she ignores that. And she goes to another bloke, goes, yeah, I'll do that too, miss. You know, do you remember the bit?
I don't remember the bit. I've got to find it now.
Yeah, I think it was Supernature.
Some of it sticks with me. Like, I don't remember jokes. Like, I read Christmas cracker jokes every year.
Yeah.
When I did Christmas Day at 2GB with Bowen and Levy years ago, we did all day was read Christmas jokes, right? I don't remember any of them except for what's brown and sticky.
What is it?
What's brown and sticky?
Brown and sticky.
A stick.
Stick.
You know, like, that's it's a Christmas cracker joke. But see,
brown
Billy Connolly, I've got a couple of Billy Connolly albums.
Oh.
And I should listen to them all the way through because they're early days where he's singing and stuff.
Were you an Eddie Murphy fan too, like that? Delirious?
A little bit.
But
like it's the one-liners that I wish I'd remember. Like the one the only one I remember is Billy Connolly. He's telling a fucking story and then he goes, like he's telling a story about cows and he just goes, who discovered you could get milk from a cow and what was he doing at the time? Fuck, what an
observation.
That. What an observation.
True. Like, how courageous is the first bloke to eat an oyster? Imagine that. Thinking, I'm going to eat this.
Yeah.
You know, you don't.
It's a high risk.
Definitely don't eat oysters,
no.
right?
No.
Even I don't eat oysters natural. Like, something's got to be on it, for me, the cheese or the Worcestershire sauce, whatever. But imagine that bloke back in whenever it was, opening up this shell, seeing this gooey crap in there, thinking, I'm going to eat that.
I'm going to eat that. Is it its guts? I might as well eat it.
Yeah. That first guy, kudos.
Kudos, mate. Well done.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go near it because it didn't walk on the land.
Yeah, you don't eat seafood at all.
If it didn't walk on the land, I'm out.
Yeah, well, you're missing out, mate.
100%.
Missing out.
Couldn't care less.
You don't eat prawns, you don't eat fish, you don't eat nothing. My old man never ate prawns. He hated prawns.
They're a fucking ugly thing. People pulling their guts out.
I love prawns.
Disgusting.
Prawns are great.
No.
Nice prawns. I love a prawn.
Oof.
Isn't it ironic? He used to work at 2GB, which is right next to the fish market.
Oh, mate, every fucking weekend, Claudio's Seafood would bring us a box this big of seafood, right?
Ah.
And it would sit down in the kitchen And they did it for a bit of a lunch, and then Bozo would fucking take it home because it was
really
seafood. It was quality seafood.
See you later,
Bozo. And Bozo would back the car. If if Bozo was still alive today, God rest his soul, because I fucking loved him.
Yeah.
And he knew that I had this office.
Yeah.
He'd back the van up twice a week and say, "What can I have?
What gadgets could I take?" Really?
Yeah. Wow. Fucking loved. Wow. Loved the prize cupboard. Loved the freebies.
Yeah, right.
And I, you know what I think happened? I think he fucking loved giving shit away to his to people in his community and his family and stuff. I think it was a good
vibe. On that same vibe, it's coming up to the 20th anniversary of Chippy.
Yeah,
Peter Frelingos, May the 3rd, I think it was, the 3rd.
It's a Friday next week.
And so, I remember Chippy, because I worked with him in sport for many years, and then when I went to tech, because he was – it was my first year in working in tech was when he passed away. So I'd still see him every day. And he was really still in, he amazed me with his knowledge of things. Like he's a chief rugby league writer, right?
Yeah.
But he amazed me with his knowledge of other stuff. Right. He was a massive car fan. And you know what? The reason I bought my Mercedes-Benz was because of him.
Yes. He fucking loved cars.
He loved
cars.
It's
all we talk about before a show.
Mate, but he developed a similar interest in tech. Because he was getting into the flat screen TVs and digital cameras, and we'd often have chats about it. I said, "What do you recommend here and that?" And he amazed me with his knowledge of other stuff, and he would learn really quickly about other stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah, he was very well read.
Let's
old Chippy.
I don't even know what it is, but
I don't care what you think. You for. Yeah, but listen, you germ.
Was that Chippy?
Chippy and Hadley. This was probably produced at it for the weekend that he died.
I am shattered. I am absolutely shattered. I'm going to miss him.
This is what she says. I think we've got it in here.
How do you fall in love with a voice?
The fucking, like, this is a listener that said that on air that weekend. Mate, some of the classic grabs, Shippy. Like, fucking.
Yeah. Oh, he's smart. So, mate.
Like they, I've still heard him on the continuous call team in recent weeks. He's fucking hilarious.
Mate, I would love, when I worked in sport, we'd often sit around and just listen to him tell a story. He told a great story. He was a great storyteller. You know, you mentioned the Billy Connolly telling a good story.
Yeah.
Mate, he told a fucking great story. Funny story.
Because imagine he's still with us, right? 20 years later. I think he'd be retired from the writing regular. I think he'd be doing like a weekly column, I reckon.
Maybe. Yeah.
And I reckon he'd still fucking phone in the odd radio thing. But the thing I love about someone like that and having known someone like that, I reckon he'd fucking absolutely get a kick of just the cars that we own.
Oh,
shit
the
like
EVs
that.
And all that. Shit,
I think he'd be like, fucking stupid shit.
Yeah.
And you'd take him for a drive and he'd be like fucking sold on it, right?
Get me one.
Because he's not – he wasn't the kind of person that would be – you know, down the just anti path.
He
could be easily converted.
He had an opinion, but it was open to
You could absolutely convert him to something with the right reasoning.
Yeah.
Fucking champion.
Yeah, mate. He was very. He was a mentor of mine. I worked in sport with him for many years, and I was sports editor for a while, mate. He was like my main man. You know, he was a genius.
Well, he knew well before Bozo.
Yeah.
So you got to remember, I work with Blocker, Bozo, Chippy and Hadley for, not Chippy for that long, but like 8 years or so.
Yeah.
And I didn't give a fuck about rugby league. It wasn't my thing. I was producing a show, basically a comedy show. It was fun. It was interesting. It was whatever.
Yeah.
And they'd be on air and they'd go, get the fucking coach of the Bulldogs, whoever that was at the time. And I'd just ring them and I'd get them on, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd answer questions because back then the internet was, you know, good, but it was still early days, so you'd find answers and shit like that.
Yeah.
But Chippy, I reckon, knew well because Bozo found out I had no interest in rugby league when we were out of this farm in fucking Quambo in the middle of nowhere. And he's talking about something. And I went, I don't fucking know. And he goes, what do you mean? I went, I don't have my books with me, like the media guide and everything.
Yeah, right.
He goes, what do you fucking mean you don't know? I said, Chip, Bozo, I don't give a fuck about rugby league. I'm a rivet.
Yeah.
And, mate, if it hadn't have been 3 or 4 years, Bozo would have just told Hadley to fucking get rid of me. But he liked me and I did a good job.
Yeah.
Whereas Chippy, early on, like first couple of years, he probably twigged to me asking the odd stupid question because you really should know that. So he'd be like, if he was walking back into the studio, he'd be like, he'd kind of tip to me, you know, how to get to the person that I need to get to.
Yeah,
rather than waiting for an hour for me to work out how to get to that person, he'd be like, he used to be at the Roosters. If you ring Brian Canavan, you'll fucking be out. Do you know what I mean?
He knew everyone, But I've got a funny – I don't know whether I've told you this story about Chippy. I remember because Chippy did lived. He used to love. He's a mad fisherman, right? He loved going to, like, I lived in Maroubra, and he used to go to Maroubra a lot to fish. So I'd often see him down Maroubra, right? And I remember driving. I was driving to Maroubra. I had Joe in the car with me. Joe and I, and Joe and I had the fucking massive fight in the car.
Right.
Massive argument and fucking blowing up. And I remember Chippy pulled up in a car right next to me at that fucking moment. And he looked at me and goes, "Everything all right here, mate?" And I was fucking that embarrassed because he'd seen us fucking blowing up and fighting with each other. And he pulled up right next to us at the light sort of saying, "Mate, you know," he made you think, was that fucking worth it? And then, mate, he'd often say to me, like, even when I was sports editor, he was a family man, right? And he always would say, he goes, "Mate, what are you doing here? Fuck off, go over to your family. What are you doing here? You don't need to be here."
I remember, it was the first time I'd experienced the kind of public loss of someone close.
Yeah.
And so the number of fucking emails so we ended up creating a condolence book online that people could fill out. And so I printed it all out for Maureen. We put it in a folder and printed everything out that we could that was just a memory. And Anna,
she'd be
30 something now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Matt is his son as well. Matt, he was a journo too. Matt, he was, because I was in the office when it happened. I was there, right? And his son was there too. His son was in the office. And, mate, we were there. They're working on him. And, mate, it was fucking – and I can remember – and, mate, we were all close with this bloke, right? Mm. We saw him, mate. We were all in tears. We're bawling our eyes out, right, of what happened.
Yep.
And I remember Campbell Reed was the editor at the time.
Yeah, I remember
right?
telling me this.
And he got up and he said, "Look, we were very – this is tragic what's happened, but we got a job to do. We need to do that job. That's what Chippy would have wanted us to do. And the paper got out on time that night anyway.
I reckon I've got the paper at home the next day, Chippy stuff.
Isn't it ironic how he'd just come back from Fox because he was on the back.
Did you see the back page?
They did a big 20-year anniversary or something, him being on the back page. It was like his fucking obituary.
Yes.
It's uncanny.
There's a irony, whatever you want to call it, but there's that. And then there's the fact that he was literally on the phone to the CEO of the
David
NRL.
David Gallup.
At the time. Like there's this, I don't know.
Yeah, just this combination
kind of closure
of
around, on the job.
Yeah.
Never stopped working.
Yeah.
Fucking wild.
Mate, was a lovely man. Really, really nice guy. Really.
Probably the nicest person I worked with in radio.
Oh, mate, was a champion. Really good bloke. Yeah. And, mate, could find a story too. Was a genius. So good at his job. Everyone knew him. Everyone respected him.
Yeah.
And, mate, he'd break stories left, right, and centre. He was the man.
Hardest thing in the world was that next weekend for us because obviously Hadley and Bozo, and they were not going to be on, and we had to pull together a team that could host the continuous call team and then another team to call the football.
Yeah.
Stig had to make all the tribute stuff like that thing and other things. And it's fucking – I remember that night going into the newsroom because they needed help with contacts, and I was the guy that had the book. I had everyone's number, right? So I had to sit in the newsroom and fucking ring people, and you'd be like, "I don't know if you know this yet."
So they're getting comments for the news. Oh, shoot.
Just to get fucking quotes for the news.
Yeah,
and it's like,
tough. That's tough.
That's fucking hard, man.
Mate. Yeah,
but that's weirdly, and it's we talked last week about the Bondi thing, and I mentioned how we sat around the table with the kids and Jackson particularly saying, so right now you'd need to be doing this because if you're going to work in the media, this thing's fucking rolling. You got to look for this, you've got to find these contacts and stuff. And I've told this story before for sure, but when Princess Di died, it was the middle of the night in England when the news actually came through.
Yeah, it was
out,
lunchtime here,
And I remember ringing, I think his name was Malcolm Stewart. He was our UK reporter.
Yep.
And, he was just the guy you'd ring to do the UK report. And I rang him and he's like, in the middle of the night, fucking phone rings. And I go, "Hi, Malcolm. I'm really sorry to call you this late at night, but it's forever long at 2GB.
Yeah.
And he would have known she was in hospital and everything because it'd obviously been going for hours.
Yeah.
I said, "Mate, Princess Di has passed away. She died."
Oh.
And I remember him doing the whole covering the phone. That never works. In movies, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Covering the phone and telling his wife, and she sobbed audibly.
Really?
Like, he's obviously in bed with his wife.
Yeah.
I get goosebumps thinking about it.
Fuck.
I could hear his wife sob audibly before he came back to me. He goes, when do you want me? You know? And I'm like, I'll give you a couple of minutes and, you know. Like, fucking goosebumps thinking about his fucking wife, just the grief,
That was massive. Yeah,
And that's, mate, ringing someone.
But I used to do that as a journo. We used to do what they call death knocks.
Yeah.
And you'd either have to ring them or go literally knock on their door. It's called a death knock. And you would, I remember as a young journo, some kid died in a car accident, you got to go knock on the parents' door, or someone died in a plane crash or something. I've done it so many times. And you're praying, please tell me to fuck off so I don't have to talk to you.
Yeah.
Please, I'm praying they open the door and say, fuck off, I don't want to talk to the media.
Yeah.
But and half the time that's what happened. The other half, they say, we're very sad. And then you sit down and sort of say, well, we would like to sort of pay tribute to your son or your daughter or whatever, your father or mother or whatever. And, mate, that was tough. Hard, mate. And you're seeing them in there. Yeah, I've experienced it myself recently. You're seeing them in their really sort of fragile state after such a loss, you know. It's that's tough, mate. That's tough.
But and there's sort part of it that makes the story of them and their life a critical thing to be told, because in those situations often there's only one chance. You know, you don't get to...
that was that too. But in my case, it was just writing a new story, just trying to find the parent because I was waiting for the Mirror and the telly, and I was like, if you don't get it, the Herald will get it. You know, that was the thought thinking.
I mentioned this to the boys, CS boys, my WhatsApp group. You know, I've got this weird inclination. So mum's overseas at the moment, and then she's coming back. She's got a new house, and it's all great, exciting. But then she's fucking retired. It's done, right? And I said, I really want to convince her, and I don't know whether she'd say yes or no, but I want to sit her here and just have a drink and just fucking talk. I want the story.
Ask her about a story, because
like I thought about it at your dad's funeral, to be honest. The story you told of your dad was remarkable, right?
Yeah.
I could piece together fuck all. I'm not doing it because I want to write her a great eulogy for her, but I want to do it because, well, it's selfish. Like, there's so much about my dad that I don't know.
Of course.
You know? And like, but it has to be. This is the condition of which I would do it with her, is it has to be everything. So I want to know, you know, where they met and where, but I also need to talk about that.
You don't know
night.
That already? Where your mum and dad met?
I probably, you know, no, not really.
Really?
No.
Okay.
And, but see, it's weird, but I kind of weirdly, I think if I went to therapy, I'd find this out. I think I need closure on my dad. I want to know how mum felt that night when the police knocked on the fucking door. I need to know the whole story. I've read fucking newspaper articles. I've read everything I can.
Yeah.
I know everything I can know.
I suppose your sister and brother, how old were they?
My brother was 4.
Oh, so that is not much of a memory that we've got.
One and a half. So, yeah.
Yeah, right.
My brother remembers him. And I've got audio of my dad.
But I've seen pictures of your dad. I reckon he's a dead ringer for your son.
Which?
Jackson looks fucking dead ringer for your dad. Have you not seen that?
Cut his fucking hair.
You don't see that?
No, because dad's like me. He's a big bloke.
Yeah, no,
whereas
but he
Jackson's
just
skinny
but
fucker.
His face, his features, mate. It's your son.
Really?
I'm telling you now. And you know what? I'm proud to say my dad used to say the same thing about me about his dad. He'd say to me, "He goes, you are the face of my dad." My dad, so my grandfather.
Yeah.
My dad would say to me, "He goes, you look like my dad."
When I was mid-20s.
Yeah.
I got it. So much about dad,
so
fucking bad, like big time. I remember going down to visit my nana in Narendra, and I don't know, let's call it, it might have been a Christmas or something, but there was a family thing. So there was some family that came from other places I'd fucking never met, right? Because I've got so many family. I'm talking, you know, second cousins and things. And like they were older, so they're like mum's age or older. And I remember this woman, I just walked out to, you know, get the bags from the car or something. This woman just goes, "What? You must be Trevor."
Wow,
and I went, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "You are your father."
Wow.
And it was like, holy shit.
Well, you are. But you do look like him, of course.
It's
fucking
wild.
You do look like that. Yeah, you do.
Isn't genetics wild?
It is, mate. It is. But it's even my aunties and uncles would say the same thing to me.
Yeah, really?
They'd say in Maltese, "You have the face of my father."
Wow.
They'd say that to me.
I still find it
and
mad
I do.
That you don't speak Maltese, but you can understand
I can speak a bit, If I was in Malta, I could make myself understood.
How
but
do I
can understand
it. How do I order a coffee in Malta?
How do I order a coffee in Malta? Tini bella caffè. I mean, give me a coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty shit accent. You're like, you're a tourist.
I'm doing my best, mate.
You're a locally bred tourist.
My cousins would say, Inti ante il witch ta misiri, which means you have the face of my father.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And
I've known you fucking 14 years. I've never heard you speak Maltese.
There you go, mate. There you go.
That is fucking wild.
My mum sometimes talks to me in Maltese. Really? She talks to me in Maltese, yeah. And my dad used to too sometimes. But yeah, it's but all that stuff I spoke, like I said, mate, I used to see my dad every day. I knew his life better than my mother.
It.
Yeah, yeah. He was telling me stories about him in the army and that. Like, mate, that was true. The bit about him, some of his platoon were killed in a terrorist attack in Libya.
Wow,
that could have been him. Yeah, that's mate, some crazy things that he went through during his life, and him growing up during the war and all that. I don't know, mate. He lived a remarkable life.
Did you publish that anywhere?
My eulogy. No. I was thinking of putting it up on Tech Guy, but I thought, no, it's sort of personal.
I would have thought you'd put it on like a Facebook or something. You know?
Oh, it's
but your Facebook is very public, though.
Yeah. But no, I published stuff about him, you know, his on, but not that.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But I've sent it to people. Like, people have asked for it. People have asked for a copy of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, my cousins in Malta wanted
okay,
it.
Okay, that's good. Yeah,
I've sent them the whole eulogy, yeah.
Listen, this is fucking wild, this show. The shit we talk about.
Yeah. Just goes, doesn't it? Just, you don't know where the needle's going to land. It's like just put the needle somewhere and you don't know what you're going to hear.
Oh, you know, what was I watching the other day? Was it fucking one of the movies we just did? Where they played a record?
Was it True Lies? Was it Argo?
It was either True Lies, Argo, or Gone Girl that I've watched. And someone puts a record on, like an album.
Yeah.
Like a click. But they go like this, put it in the middle, and it lands on the start of a song. I'm like, fuck off!
Yeah. that's hard to do. Yeah, unless you can clearly see the
track. They did this. They didn't go...
Was it Gone Girl?
No, because it's been in the record era.
Yeah, yeah. That's coming up on our list, by the way. That's coming up. What's this week? Senna this week, isn't it? Senna is the movie this week. Because it's close to the anniversary.
Yes, next week is
Senna. April 26th is the Friday this week when you're listening to this.
Yep. You'll hear...
Senna is the show that Trevor runs. Trevor's got it this week.
Look forward to it. All right, mate. See you next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.